Lord put on my heart a message I've been studying all week, and I've never seen this before. I've never really read it like this.
Yes, Lord.
But it began in the week as kind of a devotional for myself, just to read a little bit and encourage myself. And then as I got to read a little bit further, as the Lord sometimes does and often does when you read the Word, you get onto something and you just keep reading. And you just keep reading and you just keep reading until something just clicks and you just can't get enough of it. It's like a good story. It just grabs hold and doesn't let go.
Amen.
And I began reading in the book of Joshua, and I got to about chapter 3, and that's where I got stuck at.
Amen.
Not stuck in a bad way, I mean stuck in a good way. I just kept having to read it over and over again and learn more and more things about it. So that's where we're coming from this morning, Joshua chapter 3. We're going to start reading at verse 1 there. I hope that this message is an encouragement to everybody.
Amen.
I hope that this message helps everybody understand the Word a little bit more, understand how to read the Word, how to study the Word. Amen. Because, you know, as much as I study, Brother Robbie, I can't study for somebody else. Amen.
Amen.
It's everybody's responsibility to study and search out their own salvation, to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling.
Amen.
But hopefully this will encourage you to get more and dig a little deeper in God's Word. Joshua chapter 3, verse 1 says, "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way before.
Yeah.
Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, Take up the Ark of the Covenant, and pass over before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant, and went before the people. Mm-hmm. The Lord said unto Joshua, This day will I begin to magnify thee, in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee.
Amen.
And thou shalt command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, When ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan.
Yeah.
And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, Come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites.
Yeah.
Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you unto Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe of man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap.
Amen.
And it came to pass, when the people removed their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were coming to Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth his banks all the time of the harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose upon a heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho.
Man.
And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan." Now there's a lot of good meat in this word. There's a lot of good scripture here we're talking about. I don't know how much of it I'll be able to get into. Amen. We only have so much time, and I want to make sure that the Lord, amen, has his way today and be able to reveal the things that needs to be revealed. But you go home and study this a little bit, and you'll find some of this to be very intriguing as we go over this today. First of all, if I had a thought, the one that's really been getting with me this week is on the brink of a blessing.
Amen.
As I begin to read this, we find that the soldiers begin to tell the men, tell the people that When the Ark of the Covenant begins to be bearing with the priests, and the priests, the 12 priests there, begins to bear the Ark of the Covenant.
Amen.
Then the people are to take their tent and go after it. Amen. How many knows that you need to go after the Lord? Amen. The Ark of the Covenant is where the Lord, amen, sat down on the mercy seat. It was a place that was kept in the most holy place of the tabernacle. When they built it, that was kept on reserved by itself. Only the holy high priest was able to get inside and go where God was. And even then, he had to be clean. Amen. They said that they tie bells on the robes so that if something happened and they didn't hear the bells of jingling, they'd have a rope tied to them so that they could drag the dead body out if they weren't holy before the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord of hosts is holy.
Yes.
Amen. The Ark of the Covenant represents that. This is the Ark, the thing that had the Ten Commandments laid down inside of it. It had the Aaron's rod that budded inside of it. It had some of the, amen, some of the table of the showbread inside of it. Amen. This thing contains some of the most holy artifacts that we've ever known of here on this earth. Amen. And God himself dwelt upon the mercy seat, which was the lid, the thing that had the two cherubs with their wings pointing towards each other. God was on the mercy seat. When they took the sacrifice, they'd take the blood and they'd sprinkle it on that mercy seat. Amen. Symbolizing God's mercy. Amen. And the blood sacrifice to appease, amen, his wrath.
Amen. That's right.
They were to follow this ark. Wherever it went, they were supposed to go. Amen. In the Old Testament, when the cloud of smoke called the Shekinah glory came down from heaven and rested on the tabernacle, they knew that was where they needed to set up camp. Amen. And when it was time for them to go to a different place on their journey, that cloud would lift. Amen. And it would lift up and they would know where the Lord has departed from his place.
Amen.
We need to go and search after him. Amen.
Amen. Right.
Robbie preached, I believe it was last week, on the Lord being high lifted up.
Amen.
Now, I don't know if you caught that or not, but when he talked about that smoke filling the temple, that's the same Shekinah glory, that cloud that came down, was the same glory that Isaiah saw.
Yeah.
And this ark they were to follow wherever it went. I'm telling you, wherever God leads you, whether it be through the Jordan River, whether it be through the Red Sea, you better go where God tells you to go. You better go where God is leading you to go, because if not, you'll be left behind. Amen.
Amen. Right. Amen.
He told him, people, he said, when you see the priest bearing the ark of the Lord, go after it.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
But I want you to know something. Verse 4 says, this is very intriguing. Yet there shall be a space between you and it.
Yeah.
About 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it. Don't even get close past that line. That you may know by the way which you must go. For ye have not passed this way before. The Lord gave me a message a while back on this same scripture. Talking about new things. And this was a new way. There's a way that, amen, they was going to go that they hadn't been to before.
Yeah.
This wasn't going to be like the Red Sea. They had already come through the Red Sea. The Lord had already shown his power and his miracles of, amen, working among the children of Israel when they got to the Red Sea. Amen. God got between a rock and a hard place, and there was only two places to go. And that was backwards or forward. And they wanted to go back, but when they knew if they went back, they'd be in slavery or maybe even killed, because Pharaoh and his armies were chasing after Israel.
Amen, brother.
But they saw no way to move forward because there was a Red Sea in front of them.
Man. Yeah, right.
God showed up and showed his mighty miracles, worked through Moses. Moses had his staff in his hand and he lifted it up. Amen. And the Red Sea parted. A great east wind came and parted the Red Sea down the middle. There was a wall of water on either side. And all that evening they went through on dry land with a pillar of a cloud and a pillar of fire before and behind them. Amen.
Right.
God was leading them. He was protecting them. And he was blocking the way of the adversary.
Yeah. Amen.
He said here, they said, you need to be a space of about 3,000, about 2,000 cubits.
Yeah.
My wife's a math teacher. I'm going to do my best to do a little math lesson here. If I get it wrong, you correct me. Amen. But a cubit, they always say the cubit is the length from your elbow to the tip of your middle finger.
Mm-hmm.
And they say that a cubit is about 18 inches. That's about a foot and a half.
Right.
The easiest way I found out to calculate cubits is that's 1.5 is a cubit, 1.5 inches. So if they give you a number, that's the one. The 2,000 here is the one. Well, what's the half? What's half of 2,000? That's 1,000. Amen. So if you take 2,000 and 1,000, that's 3,000 converted into feet. So 2,000 cubits is 3,000 feet. Let's do a little more math. We know there's 3 feet to a yard. Amen. So if you take that, divide that, you get 1,000 yards. So either way you want to see it, there's 1,000 yards or 3,000 feet or 2,000 cubits between God's people and His ark. My wife's shaking her head, so I got it right. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Nodding her head, not shaking, Imagine that.
Right.
Here's the Ark of the Covenant that goes out before Him. I want you to notice that this is that way that He said that you may see the way you need to go. That you may know by the way by which you must go, for you've not been there before. You've not passed this way before. How many knows we need to let God lead us?
Amen.
Amen. These children of Israel, they had to stay afar off so that they could see everything that God was going to have prepared for them. They could see where the road had been traveled they hadn't taken yet. They could see the way that the priest was with the Lord. Only the holy priests, amen, could bear this and was worthy to bear the Ark of the Covenant. But they were supposed to stay about 3,000 feet between it. I got to thinking about that when me and my dad, we go out and we get ready to practice our shooting for deer hunting. He'll take that bullseye sign and he'll go out about 50 feet or a little more. And he'll place that sign there and then we'll shoot from so many yards away. And I got to thinking, you know, it takes a while to walk 50 feet, toe to heel. Takes a while to walk 50 feet. Can you imagine how long 3,000 would be?
Amen, brother. Amen.
Just far enough to be able to see what's going on.
Right.
So they'd know where to go. But I'm glad today, amen, Jesus said, you who are once, amen, afar off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Right.
I'm glad today we've got a Holy Spirit leading us. And He's not dwelling afar off. He dwells inside every born again Christian. Amen. Amen. We hear a voice behind us telling not to turn to the right or to the left. We can go and we can let the Lord lead us. He's still ahead of us. Don't get me wrong. Amen. But we're made nigh. We're made close. And Paul said, though He be not far from every one of us. I'm glad we're close. Amen. We're made priests and kings. Amen. Ever since Jesus gave His life on the cross. When the temple, the veil of the temple was ripped from top to bottom, that's what separated the holy place from the most holy place. That's what that means is now we have access to the most holy place through Jesus Christ. We have access directly to God.
Praise the Lord.
We don't have to give it to a priest. We don't have to give it to a cardinal. We don't have to give it to a bishop. Amen. They can't do anything anyway. Amen. All we have to do is give it to the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
But He said, you've not passed this way before. You need to have so much of a space so God could lead you.
Yeah.
Amen. And He tells the people to sanctify themselves. And He begins to tell them some more directions here. I want you to notice here in verse 8, Joshua talks about, it says, the Lord talks to Joshua. And He tells Joshua, thou shalt command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, you shall stand still. In Jordan. Man, you can only go so far. God says, I've got it after this.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Remember in the book of Exodus, we just talked about the Red Sea. And Moses told him, he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You know, I wonder if their ears perked up. You know, I wonder if they said, you know, we've heard this before. And look what happened when we heard it the last time. Amen. No doubt they knew that God could do miracles. Amen. And right now they were willing to go wherever God led them. And He told them whenever they come to the brink of the water, you need to stand still in Jordan. You've gone as far as you can go. It's my turn to take over from there.
Man.
Talking about on the brink of a breakthrough.
Praise the Lord. Brother.
The brink here. Let's go down to a little bit in verse 15. Kind of go along with this. It says, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water. The brim and the brink is the same thing. For Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. That the waters which came down from above stood and rose upon a heap. And those that came down toward the sea, even the sea of salt, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
And then the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground. Amen. There was no more waves.
Amen.
There was no more water rocking to and fro. They had a firm foundation.
Amen.
So that they could get across to the promised land. That's where they were going. They were going into Jericho to defeat them.
Amen.
And then they were going to go into the promised land, defeat the Canaanites and all them other ites that you hear about. Amen. God was preparing a way for them and leading them to be victorious. Amen.
Amen.
But on the brink of a breakthrough, now I want you to notice something. Let's give you a little background here. First of all, the time of the harvest, from what I researched, is talking about the barley harvest. Amen. And the harvest, for some reason, it says here in verse 15, Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time at the time of the harvest.
Amen.
That word overfloweth means to fill to the brim.
Yeah.
Amen. It doesn't mean to go over the banks. It means to fill to the top of the bank, to the brim of the banks. How many knows when you take a glass of water and you fill it to the brim? You know what that means.
Yeah. Yeah.
You fill it to where you can't get any more without going over.
Amen.
And this harvest, this water would come down because during the time of the summer months, it's about April and May when this happens anyway in our country.
Amen.
Amen. The snow from the snow cap from the mountains melt. They begin to drain into the sea and drain into the river, and it begins to fill up to about twice or more from what the fullness of it that it was before. Amen. So it wasn't like they was going to have an easy journey. Amen. And they said that because of all this overflow excess of water, amen, we find that the waters begin to be rapid, and there's a lot of dangerous cascades and a dangerous rapids that are happening throughout Jordan. So it wasn't like he's going to walk in and just wade across. They had some storms and some tremendous water coming through. Amen. Just like it was with the Red Sea. Amen. There's going to be some trouble, some trial. Amen. But if you'll let God have it from where you stop and stand still, let God have it. He can take care of that.
Amen. Amen.
He said you go to the brim, and when your feet go in that water, I don't know how deep it was, but when you go to the brink, just imagine the edge of this platform here. This is the brink. Water is up to it. But he said you can't just stand still on the edge, Brother Robbie.
Amen.
Y'all pray for me. My voice is about to go.
Listen,
amen. But he says you don't just stand still on the edge. How many knows you got to step out into the water?
Amen.
Before the blessing comes. Before the breakthrough comes, you got to be willing to just step off.
Amen.
Into the water and trust the Lord to bury you up. Amen. The priests had to deal with the water on their ankles, and as soon as they stepped in, the waters that were from above, that's not talking about the clouds and the rain, that's talking about on upstream. See, the water came down from the Sea of Galilee. Jordan was smack dab in between the Sea of Galilee to the north, and it was the Dead Sea or the Salt Sea to the south. Amen. And when they got in, there was a wall, a heat come up. Amen. And it cut them off from the Sea of Galilee waters. Amen. And the waters that came from the Dead Sea, it cut those off. So as they was coming, it would be on the right side of the wall what happened.
Yeah.
In the Red Sea, the waters were departed, and we had a wall on each side. But in this occasion, there was only a wall on the right side because they stood on a heap. But the waters on the left side were cut off. How many knows the right side is where God's power is?
Amen. Right.
Talks about His right hand. Talks about Jesus being set at the right hand and the power of His right hand. Amen. That's where the strength is. God's showing them by my power, not by your power, but my power. You've done this thing and we're able to accomplish this. We're able to go over. But you can't just stand still at the brink. He said, don't stand still until you come and you dip your feet in the water.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, brother.
Well, that's good words.
Amen. That's good preaching.
I think of another man that was on the brink. I don't know. It seems like about every two or three messages this subject comes up. I don't know, maybe because I relate to it so much. But over there in Matthew, I'm going to turn there. I believe it's chapter 14.
Let's see Jesus.
We all know the story of how Jesus came walking on the water.
Amen.
They had just got done feeding the 5,000 besides women and children. Matthew 14, verse 22, and it says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into his ship and go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitude away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to a mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, he was there alone. He was in the mountain alone in the evening, but he already told his disciples to get in the ship and go to the other side. I just sung that song. Let's go on the other side. So Jesus on the mountain, but then it says, the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Would you notice that? The midst of the sea. It said earlier that the priests dipped their feet in the middle of Jordan, in the midst of it.
Man.
And that don't mean the deepest part. That could have been just, they were just right in the middle of it, the thick of it. You know, I don't know exactly what it meant by the middle because they were only up to the brink. So I don't know exactly what it meant by that. But either way, he said in the middle of this, they were in the middle of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, that's the darkest part of the evening. In the middle of the trouble, in the darkest part, it says, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea.
Mm-hmm.
So one minute he was on the mountain, the next he was on the sea.
Amen.
Amen, that's how quick he got there, because he's God.
Right.
Fourth watch of the night, Jesus walked on, this is the Sea of Galilee. Now let me tell you something, I just told you earlier, to give you a little hint of that. The same waters that were in Jordan come from the Sea of Galilee.
That's right.
This is where Jesus is now. Now, I looked over this and I couldn't find where it said it was the Sea of Galilee. That's where we traditionally put it. But the way they find that out is because in another gospel it talked about how he went over the sea to go to Capernaum. Well, that's on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. So that's the one they're talking about here. Same waters that go down into Jordan were on this sea. The same waters they went across in the Old Testament are the ones in the New Testament Jesus was walking on. The same waters that were cut off by God in the Old Testament were commanded to be still by Jesus in the New Testament.
Right.
Think of that.
Amen.
The ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Verse 26. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them and saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water."
Amen.
You know where Peter was? He was on the brink.
Amen.
He was on the edge.
Amen.
Said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me come on out to you on the water." Jesus or God told him, "You got to get your feet wet before I can do some work."
Amen.
Peter said, "Bid me come to you on the water if it's you." Jesus said, "Come.
Yeah.
Go ahead and step out. Get off the brink, step out to where the breakthrough is.
Man.
Step out into the sea where they're raging." Amen. Your breakthrough may look like it's raging. The River of Jordan, as we have just discussed, was raging. The Red Sea was probably raging. Amen. And now the sea is raging. Hey, but I'll tell you what, it's funny to see to me, Brother Robbie, how when Elijah was in the mountain and he was in the cave hiding from Jezebel, that God wasn't in the whirlwind. He wasn't in the fire. He wasn't in the earthquake. Hey, but you know where Jesus is? He's in the middle of all that with you. He's the master of the storm, and he is there, amen, to calm the waves and make them stand still.
Praise the Lord. Yes, sir.
We couldn't get too close to God in the Old Testament. But now that Jesus has come, he's right there with us. Thank God.
Yes, sir. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus said, "Come," and Peter was out. When he was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus.
Yeah.
We know what happened next. He saw the wind and the waves. I believe that if the children of Israel, the priests, had faltered and begun to be scared, amen, God might not have been able to do many mighty works there.
Right.
Amen. But they trusted God. Why? Because they'd already come through something.
Yeah. Amen.
Darcy sung Amazing Grace, I believe it was last week.
Yeah.
And my favorite verse is that third one.
Yeah.
"Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I've already come.
Amen.
His grace has brought me safe thus far.
Amen.
And grace will lead me home." Amen.
Lord.
When we have that attitude to begin to look back and see the things that God has brought us from, it helps us to trust Him more, that He's ready to bring us to greater and new heights. Jesus said, "The works you see me do, these and greater things you'll do because I go to my Father." Amen.
Amen, brother.
A lot of times we just sit on the brink.
Yeah.
We get our fishing pole out like old Peter did.
Amen.
When Jesus went, he got killed, he got crucified. They said, "I go fishing. I'm just going to get back on the brink and just cast out my water, cast out my net, my pole, and just sit here and get lazy about it."
Yeah. Amen.
When Jesus came to shore, he said, "Cast on the right side." You know what he was telling them? Step back off that boat.
Amen.
Step off into the brink, into the breakthrough. Amen. Step on the brim. When you get to the edge and it's deeper than it's ever been, when it's fuller than it's ever been, when it's more raging than it's ever been, That's the time to step in, amen.
Amen. Amen.
They say when you buy stock, you need to buy, I believe it was buy low and sell high.
Yeah.
Amen. Jesus said, hey, amen, when you're in the thick of things, that's when you need to jump in.
Amen. Amen. Right. Praise the Lord.
Why? Because God is there.
Praise the Lord.
He'll catch you.
Yes, sir.
He can do the work. When the children of Israel, when the three Hebrew children was thrown into the flame, amen, they didn't have the smell of smoke on them. Amen. The only thing that was burnt was the bindings that was binding them.
Yeah.
Then things were burnt off and they didn't even have the smell of smoke. None of them was burned or singed. Amen. Because Jesus, the fourth man, was in there with them. Amen.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Amen. I'm glad that where God couldn't get close to because of the holiness he had,
yeah,
Jesus could because he was already part of us. Amen.
Amen. Right.
The fourth man, like the Son of God, was able to be in the fire where God was far off. Amen. You realize that the Ark of the Covenant represents Christ himself. He's the new Ark. He's the one that bears the Old Testament in himself. He fulfilled that. He's now the Ark that we follow. Amen. To get to the promised land of heaven.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Right. Peter was the man that I'm referring to. He was on the brink of a breakthrough and he had to step out.
Yes,
he sunk. But the Lord was there to pick him back up.
Right.
And you don't read anywhere else where any other disciples jumped off that boat.
Yeah, that's right.
Peter was the only one willing to.
Amen.
Matter of fact, he done it twice. The first time he walked on the water, the second time he swam to Jesus on the shore.
Yeah, amen, brother.
Isaiah 43, verse 1 and 2 says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by my name. Thou art mine."
Yeah.
Amen. I'm glad I know who I belong to, Brother Robbie.
Right.
Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, the river Jordan. Amen. They shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee.
Praise the Lord.
He was talking about the Red Sea. He was talking about the river Jordan. He was talking about the three Hebrew children. Every time God was there and they weren't damaged by any of that.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Many miracles have happened in the River Jordan. We know that's where Elijah and Elisha crossed, smote the mantle on the waters, and the waters parted. That time they parted.
Yeah.
Like I said, this time there was a wall on one side and there was drought on the other side where God cut them off. But I want you to notice something else. Where Jesus was baptized in Jordan. I found this out last night. It's very intriguing.
Listen, Lord.
The place he was baptized was at Bethabara, where John was baptizing. That word Bethabara means house of crossing. The place where Jesus was baptized is the place that they believe the Jews had crossed the Jordan right here in Joshua chapter 3. That's fascinating. To think about where Jesus was baptized. Amen. He made a way for each and every one of us to cross the Jordan River. See, in the Bible, the Jordan represents death. Amen. It represents some crossing from here to the afterlife.
Yeah.
Amen. You hear those songs, "I won't have to cross Jordan alone."
Amen.
Amen. That's what it's talking about. But amen. Yeah. Thank God the giver of life stood in the middle of the deadness of that river. Amen. He was baptized and the dove came descending out of heaven and the God's voice said, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased."
Amen. Amen.
They crossed this river before. Amen. And now God made a way to cross onto the true promised land.
Praise the Lord.
In that baptizing hole.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
I found this fascinating. On the brink of a breakthrough.
Amen.
They set up, you know, you hear that term brim. You know, they have a fish that's called brim. Brother Robbie, I think that's fascinating. They call it that because that's where they gather. They gather right at the brim of the water.
Yeah. Know that.
They're not afraid of the brim. We shouldn't be afraid of the brink either. Whenever God tells us to go, he tells us to stand still in the waters, and God will make a way.
Man, that's right.
Sometimes we've got to get in the thick of things before we can see God work.
Praise
Amen, because he wants his own self to get the glory. He doesn't want it to come by my hand. He doesn't want it to come by your hand. He wants it to come by his high and mighty hand. Just like he said last week, high and lifted up. Amen. Because God deserves all the glory.
Yeah.
He deserves all the praise. Amen.
Right.
All we got to do is just let him have it.
Right. Amen. Amen, brother.
As I began to think about this, I got to thinking about some of you in the audience today.
Blessing Jesus.
Might be on the brink of a breakthrough.
Yeah.
Amen. You may be sitting there in that pew. I don't know anybody's heart today. As far as I know, everybody in this house is right with God, but that's not mine to judge. Amen. There may be somebody in this house today that's on the brink of coming out and stepping out off that brink into that water. Amen. Where Jesus is. Amen. Amen. Peter stepped out there. Jesus was there waiting for him, and he was there to catch him when he fell. Amen. And if there's anybody out there today that feels like I've just got to go a little further. A few weeks ago, I preached about getting a little deeper. They sung that song way down, and a little deeper, step into that water.
Amen.
Maybe you're on the brink. Amen. And you say, I've got to do something. I've fought with this long enough. But God says, just take one more step. Just get out in the water. Get out in that deep water. Amen. I think of the New Testament. Amen. When the water was stirred up by the angel, they did their best. Those sick and afflicted to get to that water. They wanted to get in the deep part of it. God's not even asking you to get to the deep part. He says, get in the shallow right now, and I can lead you the rest of the way.
Amen. Praise the Lord, brother. Praise the Lord.
Every head bowed, no one looking around.
Thank you, Jesus.
If you're faced in your life on the brink of a decision, on the brink of something, and you say, God, I need courage. I need some strength to be able to step into the water. Would you raise your hand so we can pray? Nobody's looking around. Nobody can see you but the Lord and me. Amen. If you have that need on your heart, would you raise your hand? Say, I'm on the brink of something. And I need God's help. I need God. Thank God for those hands that went up. Hey man, I'm on the brink of something. I don't know how to handle it. I need the courage to just step out and give it to God. Hey man, there'll be anybody else that has a need like that. Can say, Lord, that's me. Pray for me, preacher. Hey man, we thank God for those hands that went up. Amen. And if anybody has a need, if you want to come right now and give those needs to the Lord, say, Lord, I need courage. I need help to get through this problem that I'm going through. I feel like I'm on the brink of something. Amen. But I don't want to drown. Hey, let me tell you something. God's not going to let you drown. He'll move the waters back for you. Amen. You'll go through on a firm foundation and you'll have no problem getting to the other side if you'll just turn over in.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
If you would come. Brother,
yes,
Brother Don, come on and get his song, brother.
Amen.
If there's anybody with a need like that, let's all stand again.
Thank you, Lord.
God wants you to take that next step.
Thank you, Jesus.
You say, you may be like Peter. Now, I know I felt like this.
Yeah.
Lord, I've done all this already.
Yeah.
I've already went so far. Peter said, Lord, we've been fishing all night.
Yeah. Amen. That's
Jesus
right.
said, well, go a little further. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said he went a little further.
Amen.
Go a little further. Step out in a little bit more.
Praise the Lord.
And that's where the breakthrough is.
Amen.
Peter didn't get the breakthrough until he went off the brink.
That's right.
There's no breakthrough unless you go off the brink first. They didn't get the fish until he cast over on the right side.
Amen.
Think about that as he's saying.
Amen. Well,
praise the Lord.
Amen. I'm the Lord. I'm the Lord.
Amen. There's no place else to go but the Lord. Jesus said, will you also go away when some of the people left him? Peter said, to whom shall we go, Lord? Thou hast the words of eternal life.
Amen.
Would there be somebody who says, I need some courage, I need some help? Why don't you just step off the brink into the water and come down and give it to the Lord?